You're listening to the Wine Country Live Morning Show with Barry Martin
on KVON Napa, 1440 AM at KVON.com.
Once a week in this time frame, we get a chance to talk with Napa Mayor Scott Sedgley, and it's not our typical process over many years of covering local news and politics and local government, but we're still in kind of an emergency status with the pandemic, so we've been having these weekly check-ins for quite some time. And Mayor Sedgley, welcome back for the check-in this week.
Thank you, Barry Martin.
You sound like you're up and at 'em and in a good mood today. True,
I am. I am. I'm missing Taylor a little bit, but you know that's good for her. I'm happy to hear that her family business was successful in their winery application. So that's good news.
That's awfully nice of you to bring that up. I know she will appreciate hearing your words. And we will spend some time on some other topics here. Let's get into a couple of things, including Hero Pay Round 2. This is a story that was in the Register this week. Going to take this up again?
Oh, my goodness, yes. It's the council's been struggling, and as you're aware, we think during our priority setting, you know, we talked about, you know, this is it seems to be a good thing to do, a just thing, recognizing those workers that were determined to be essential and to keep the stores up and running to feed us. And so we went down that path, but it got a little more complicated and there were more questions than answers. And so I think we're looking at maybe a third go at it. Definitions were a big part of it. What is a grocery store? How big? What percentage of the business is devoted to groceries? What's the impact on individual workers? Is government, you know, reaching, you know, the long arm of government reaching into an area that maybe that it should be left to the normal labor management meet and confer process? So it has become complicated. I applaud staff they keep hanging in there with us, you know, coming back with the next iteration of what an ordinance might look like, how long it would last. So yeah, it's, you know, we couldn't get there last week and sent it back for maybe a redo and further discussion at an upcoming meeting.
So the intentions are good. It's just mechanics and those challenges.
Right. And unintended consequences, right? Yeah. You know, what if we do this for one group, you know, are you, is it an equitable, you know, offering? You know, that's what I think government should be doing, is treating people equitably and fairly. So yeah, it's a tough one. And so we'll give it a go, but I'm thankful we have a great council that is very compassionate and genuine. There's no hidden agendas. There's no favoritism. It's just, you know, we're approached with this and we're trying to figure out a solution.
Very good. Separate topic here for a moment. Couple of different stories that, I don't know, a couple of different things that triggered this for me. Probably the one that really got me going on it was the luxury lofts story. I was just talking about this a bit ago. What's called the Young Building there, corner of, it's Coombs and Third, right?
Yes.
Jim Keller, who owns that property, is proposing the upstairs of that building be redesigned into three luxury loft apartments that might sell for $2 million a piece. It got me thinking, and I was just checking on the Register Square development, which is selling pretty well. Cheapest property there is about $800,000, and they go up above $1 million for essentially a townhouse. When the council approves housing projects. There's a lot of talk about workforce housing. And yet you have to wonder when you're a local, how many of those properties are actually being purchased by people in the workforce, locals, versus folks who want to have second home, weekend home, corporations buy properties like that so they can share them, you know, for different clients and whatnot. Does the city know who's buying those kinds of properties? Is the city concerned about that issue?
Of course, everyone's concerned. A lot of that's the fractional ownership model now that some of these properties are doing in these you know, areas that are, you know, people like to come to, like Napa Valley. Council doesn't really dig into who actually buys them. We know what they sell for, like at Register Square, and now with this new proposal. Generally, when those proposals come in, you know, the impact fees, how we address the workforce piece of it is through impact fees. And so then those monies are in a trust, the housing trust, that helps often subsidize workforce housing with the nonprofit sector, like Burbank Housing, that has done, they're finishing up on the Redwood Gardens there on Redwood Road behind the grocery outlet. You know, that's a good example of affordable ownership housing that our housing trust fund helped develop along with Burbank. Down at the Gasser Foundation, the Gasser property, Gasser Foundation, Stoddard West was a 50-unit building that is 100% affordable. That was how Gasser Foundation covered their impact fees when building a lot of the Tula Cave apartments that were built out there, the new ones along the river that you can see from Soskal. So that's how we help with it. It's not necessarily that the downtown property that Mr. Keller's proposing is a component going to be on site that's affordable. It's usually how we do that in another spot that the numbers actually work. We've had a couple of projects now that prefer to build their own. The Meritage expansion, they purchased property on Old Sonoma Road, a vacant piece of property, and they are in construction for that workforce piece. So instead of paying the impact fees, they did an equal equivalent to actually build them. And that's a great model. We encourage that in the Foxbow Hotel that was recently approved at First and Soskal. Their equal equivalent will be offsite apartments that are down just south of the fairgrounds on Silver Rock Trail. So there's a whole mix of how we get that workforce piece accomplished, but it's a challenge. And in this California property values, Napa County property values were 20%, you know, in this quarter have risen. It just makes it much more difficult. The cost of building with the fires, the availability of workforce and the cost of lumber, everything has gone up. So we keep chasing it, but we do our best, but will we ever have enough? I doubt it. You know, that's the workforce that we need to all live locally can probably, you know, we can't get there. We'll do our best to do our part, but yeah, I don't deny that those luxury downtown in that young building. I mean, you know, it's a great use of the property. It's vacant now. Mr. Keller deserves the ability to earn money on his return, and it's a big investment that he's making in downtown.
Yeah, that's for sure. It's sort of an undeniable reality of desirable places. You know, if you think about it, it's true from small, exclusive areas like Napa Valley or, you know, Santa Barbara County would be another one, maybe. Aspen is an example where if you work in Aspen and you're a working class person, you do not live in Aspen. You live somewhere else. It's true in big cities like New York, where you may work in Manhattan, but you're going to live in Brooklyn or Queens or something, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And I know that Aspen model often comes up. They were able to do, actually, it's a little community, you know, detached from the downtown Aspen. It's mm-hmm. I think it's under 20 miles away, that they were able to secure housing for a lot of their seasonal workforce, because right. Aspen is seasonal. And for us, a lot of our workforce was seasonal in prior years, but anymore. It's not that seasonal. It's mm-hmm. year-round. Mm-hmm.
And speaking of the workforce and the hospitality industry, things really feel like they're starting to heat up these last couple of weekends, even before we were in the orange tier. We've talked on the show here about how busy it seems downtown, all the outdoor tables all filled up, not just downtown, but, you know, out here in the south end of town and other places, too, where there are popular places to go. I would think that now with almost the entire Bay Area going orange, the vaccination rate going up, we're only going to see more of the same as great weather here in the spring. Are we ready for that? Is that a good thing? That's a dumb question, but.
No, it's not. There's no dumb questions, Barry. You know that. And so it is a good thing. And, you know, the way I'm looking at it, the way I message it is, you know, this is moving into orange, a great opportunity for our businesses to recover. They've been struggling. But as individuals, we have to remain vigilant. We have to continue with the safety protocols, how we behave, you know, the masks, the distancing, the washing of hands. Let's continue that modeling. And so that's the most important thing. We don't want to regress. And so if people just let it go, we might have that issue. So let's help the businesses recover. Let's keep doing our part as individuals. We have a little bit of a water shortage concern we're coming up. And so what I'm saying is maybe take a fewer showers, but keep washing your hands. That's what we need to do as we move in. Let's not be too exuberant and just free for all. Let's all, we're messaging, you know, everything we do, we still have our signs up at the, on First Street coming in, you know, wear your masks, mask up, all those things remain in effect, even though we're into orange. This is an opportunity for the businesses. Let's keep doing our part is my message.
Yeah, certainly a worthwhile thought. Speaking of water, we have now, I think, two communities in Napa County, Santa Elena and Calistoga, that are talking about water restrictions, rationing, some kind of measures going forward. We know that we had 59% normal snowpack. We know we've had about, 10 inches of rain against a 25-inch average Napa year. What does that mean for the city of Napa's water supply? Do you foresee that we'll have to enact any measures here locally?
We're starting with messaging on conservation. The irrigation is a big part of our potable water that's used for irrigation. It's kind of silly when you think about that, but that's the reality. So all those measures that we've done in the past, we're not doing any kind of mandatory conservation yet. We believe we can get through this year with availability with our Hennessy and Milliken storage. And then, of course, we're fortunate to have bought into the state water project years ago, where we're able to get water out of the delta that comes and is treated in Jameson and comes into our system. The state has reduced that allocation, but it's still adequate with what we have on hand to get through. This coming winter, the 21-22 winter, will be the big story. Should we have another dry winter, it's going to be tough next summer. But our rainfall that came into our storage was only, really low. About 500 acre feet is all that came in to Hennessy as far as runoff. And it hasn't been that bad since 1977 when we had the least amount of surface water that comes into those reservoirs. So it's real. And so we're holding off using Hennessy as much as we can. You know, we had to tap into it a little bit a month ago, and people recognized the difference in taste, and because we had to do some work on the inlet side over in Barker Slough on the Sacramento River. So, yeah, it's a concern. Our water division is on top of it. We're going to be messaging, reminding everybody, you know, maybe cut back on your outside watering a little bit. Like I said, maybe you don't have to take two showers every day. Just wash your hands all the time.
I like to wash everything but my hands. That's my personal preference. There's a real good point there in terms of the outside watering, because a lot of everything we use goes there. And you might feel like, well, it's 75 degrees. degrees this weekend. I better water everything real good. The truth is, because of how much sunlight we're getting at this time of year, you don't really have to soak the garden down as much as you might think. It's not, you know, we're not in the middle of summer. We're at the beginning of spring still, really.
Exactly. And some of those, you know, those ornamentals or things you might have, use your old fashioned watering can, right? Instead of just running the hose, you know, soaking it down, they'll appreciate a little drink out of a watering can and, you know, those kind of things. But yeah, you don't need to do any deep watering just yet. The lawns, if you still have lawns, you know, they're hanging in this time of the year. You don't have to start sprinkling your lawns just yet. And consider taking those lawns out anyway. You know, go to Xeriscape. The city still has the cash for grass program. The city will reimburse you so many dollars a square foot if you remove your grass and put in drought tolerant stuff. So those are good measures. Those big ornamental lawns are, I think, a thing of the past.
In your semi-arid climate that we live in, it never really was the right thing to do, but we got away with it for a long time.
Yep.
Napa Mayor Scott Sedgley with our weekly check-in on a variety of topics. One other thing I wanted to quickly touch on, I think it's a week from Tuesday at the council, or not the council meeting, or is it the council meeting? Yeah, city council meeting on the land use plan related to the general plan update, April 20th. What should people be expecting for that?
It's the, you know, the work of the general plan advisory committee, that the recommendations that they've made that has gone to planning commission, and now the council's first opportunity to look at that work and then weigh in. You know, so if we get an update on the land use element, and then combined with the other 10 or so elements, transportation and all those things, so we'll have that say, and then it'll go to draft where staff will put a general plan draft together for final approval. So the land use piece is probably the most sometimes controversial, and people have interest in it because it's lands that might be their neighbor, and so they want some say on what is the future goal of that piece of property. So things get a little bit more intense. You know, some properties that have been vacant for years and years, and you know, they're penciled in. We have to build so many houses. State that the regional housing needs assessment. You know, we can't quit building houses. That's controlled by the state, so we have to do our share. But we want to do it appropriately, compatible, all those things, affordable, all those things that match. Very difficult to do, but yeah. So there's several people that have been intimately involved with that process. So this will be council's first chance to see the work that's accomplished so far, and you know, maybe agree or make some recommended changes to it. So that's what our charge is. So
all right.
It'll be another good one.
Yeah, nothing but fun at the council meetings, and that's on April 20th. You can find out more about all these things we've discussed on the city's website, cityofnapa.org. Napa Mayor Scott Sedgley, thanks for chatting with us again today, and hope you have a great weekend.
Thanks, Barry,
and
you too.
Don't forget, Giants home opener today.
That's right. I'll be there, and vaccines. Don't forget, if you know, still get those vaccines. We have on the April 13th one at the Meritage Resort that's done through Kaiser Permanente, and then on the 14th at the Wine Train Station on McKinstry, Ole Help is doing a vaccine clinic there too on the 14th next week.
Very
so
good.
If you haven't got your vaccines yet, make sure you get out there, register, sign up, and get those vaccines.
Perfect. Thank you, Mayor. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Barry.
All right, take
Bye-bye.
Care. Bye now.
You're listening to the Wine Country Live Morning Show with Barry Martin
on KVON Napa, 1440 AM and KVON.com.